Good morning. We're going to be continuing our study in the book of Genesis this morning. And we got a little ahead last Wednesday, so we're going to go back and start at the beginning of chapter 19 and hopefully be able to get a little more detail. And we'll try to finish up chapter 19 this morning. So at the conclusion of chapter 18, who does Abraham meet with in chapter 18? Who comes to his house? Who?
Angels.
Angels and who else? All right. There's the form of three men, and we see in chapter 18, one of those is God. The other two are not identified. And then at the end of chapter 18, Abraham tries to bargain with God. What's this bargain over? Okay, will the righteous be swept away with the wicked when it comes to the judgment of Sodom? So what's the lowest number that ends up being agreed to? There's agreed to 10, and as we know in chapter 19, the city is going to be destroyed, so we can conclude from that there were not 10 righteous people within the city. And chapter 18, it's in the verse 32, God says, and he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So Abraham had accompanied the three men going towards Sodom at this point, and then the two of the men go on towards Sodom. And at the conclusion of chapter 18, Abraham returns to his home, and it says God goes his way. So we pick up in chapter 19. Okay.
I think this is also important because the Lord's demonstrating to Abraham how to pray the city's action.
Sure.
And I think his actions, of course, the Lord's actions were justified because there are no longer enough people in the cities to live and try to live righteously to save the city.
Sure. Yeah, good point. And so let's see how well this turned out on the map. I don't know if you can see it that well, but as archaeologists have tried to search for ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, obviously the city was destroyed and it was burned. So the amount of rubble or ruins would be minimal, as you can imagine, a city being burned. But these are some proposed locations for Sodom there and there, and then a proposed location for Gomorrah. And the reason for this is because in those sites, there have been found layers of ash and layers of sulfur within the sediment as archaeologists have tried to dig and try to find these ruins. Because in a lot of these areas, as you know, it's an arid place, it's a desert. So after a few thousand years, sand and dirt has covered everything. So to get to any of these ruins, for the most part, you have to dig to find anything. But again, that's where some proposed sites. And earlier in the book of Genesis, when the kings of the north part of this region come and attack, and they take Lot away, they come south. It talks about them coming south in the region of the Salt Sea. And so that's another reason why those were probably located around that area. Okay, so at the beginning of chapter 19, we read about the wickedness of Sodom. And as Rose pointed out, that the people of God are supposed to be the salt of the earth. And we happen to find Lot in verse 1 of chapter 19. He is sitting at the gate of the city. And so what would this infer if Lot is at the gate of the city? Who is that spot reserved for? So it'd be for an elder of the city. So Lot has gone from being, I believe back in chapter 13, he pitches his tent towards Sodom, to now he's not only living towards Sodom, he's actually in the city, and he's in fact become an elder of the city. So in other words, he's someone, he may be someone involved with making laws or ordinances, and he's someone that is definitely thought highly of and well respected. And as we know from earlier in Genesis, when he and Abraham have to split, Lot is a wealthy man. And so all these things have gone together to give him a place of prominence in the city. So we're going to read, let me read these first three verses of Genesis chapter 19. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening." So again, that's the two men that left Abraham. So now we understand who they are. They are angels of God. "Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." Let's stop there for a second. So Lot bows his face to the ground. So this is not just a bow like this. He is bowing low, potentially getting on his knees to bow before them with his face parallel to the ground. Now, why do you think he would do that? Sure. Yeah, either he understands that these are angels, or he something about their appearance. And remember, he's an elder of the city. So something about their appearance, something he sees, causes him to understand these men are greater than I am, and he needs to bow himself and show reverence to them. Verse 2, "And he said, 'Hear now, my lords, please, turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, then you may rise early and go on your way.' And they said, 'No, but we will spend the night in the open square.' But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate." So apart from just showing hospitality, why would Lot invite these men into his house? These people he doesn't know. What's another reason he might want to invite them into his house? He's concerned. That's a good point. We read as Lot is going, he pitches his tent toward Sodom. I keep saying chapter 13. I think that's the right chapter. Yeah, in chapter 13. And in chapter 13, we understand that the reputation of Sodom is known. It's known to be a city full of wicked men. And so here Lot is looking out for their safety, and as well as showing hospitality that would have been customary for the region at that time, and has them come to his house. And just a side note, it says that he baked them unleavened bread, and I believe this is the first reference to unleavened bread in the scriptures. Not in this case, there's not necessarily anything special about that, but we do see that. This is the first time this is mentioned. Well, that could be as he was trying to come up with something quick for them. We don't know what type of bread, other than it said it was cakes, that Abraham prepares for the Lord and the two angels. But it could be that he quickly prepared something so it wasn't time for the bread to rise. Okay, so verses 4 and 5, it says, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house." So right before they're about to go to bed, every person, it says every man of the city comes to surround their house, the house of Lot, And verse 5, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. So they surround the house of Lot, and this is every man in the city. So this means that the behavior of homosexuality is rampant among the city. And it's actually, as I was studying this, and there's a passage in Judges that has a very similar account in the account of Gibeah, where this was not an isolated incident, that homosexuality was a problem in the Near East during the time of Abraham, and as the time progressed through, probably through history, even even as we understand the Romans were given to homosexuality as well. So this is not a new sin to the Old Testament, to the New Testament. It's not a new sin to the 20th century. It's something that's been going on since the very beginning. And so the men of the city want Lot to bring out these men because they're planning on raping them, is what is said here. So Lot, he even offers up his two daughters, and we didn't read that passage, but he says in verse 8, he says, see now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. So now we understand why Lot brought them into his house, because he knew they were left out in the city square. He knew exactly what was going to happen to them. And he says here, this is why I brought them into my house, so that this wouldn't happen to them. And he offers up his daughters, who says have not known a man, and we understand later they are to be married later on. But the men don't want that. The men don't want the women. And I think about what's the mindset of Lot to offer up his daughters to this mob of people instead of these strangers. Now, the custom would have been to protect the visitors that are coming into his house. And I understand that. But, we don't see a judgment on Lot's behavior in this case and whether it was an evil to offer up his daughters. Should he offer it up nobody? I don't know. But it's hard to imagine that as a parent, being willing to offer up your children in that way instead of just resisting outright. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, and think about this, is every man in the city, so obviously there's other women, there's children being born so that the city can continue. So these aren't men that are only interested in men. But in this case, they want to do evil, and they want to do the most evil they can do. Back up just a step. So verses 10 and 11 of chapter 19, it says, but the men reached out their hands and, back up a step. Verse 9, it says, and they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot. At this point, Lot is outside the house. They pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. So let me stop right there in verse 10. So Lot is outside of his house trying to convince the men, don't do this wickedness. These men are under my care. And here's my daughters. You can have them. And the people of the city say, this one came in to stay here. So they're aware that he's a foreigner. He's not of the city. And he keeps acting as a judge. So telling them what's right and wrong, telling them that what they are intending on doing here is wicked. And so they intend to do worse to him than with the two men that they wish to come out of the house so that they can rape them. So whatever fate is in store for Lot at this point is going to be much worse. Potentially they're going to kill him. It says in verse 10, but the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them. So this is the angels here pulling Lot back into the house and shutting the door. In verse 11, and they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they became weary trying to find the door. So even when they are struck with blindness, these men don't stop trying to get into the house. They are still intent on doing this wicked act. Okay, in verse 12, now that the men have been struck with blindness, the men of the city that have surrounded the house, in verse 12, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place. So Lot is given a chance to gather up his family because the city is going to be destroyed. In verse 13, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, now at this point there, I guess it depends on what kind of what translation you're reading from. There are son-in-laws, but yet his daughters have not yet known a man and are still living in his house. So I think it depends on what your translation is and how that's described. But he goes out to speak with his son-in-laws, I'm reading the New King James, who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. So I can imagine a panicked Lot, you know, with fear on his face, going to his son-in-laws and saying, we've got to get out of here. God is going to destroy the city. We've got to leave now. And the son-in-laws simply think that even though they see him in the state, they think he's merely playing a prank on them and he's joking. Yeah, go ahead. Sure. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that could be the case too. We don't read about him having any other daughters, but as it doesn't say that he didn't either. Either one of those could be the case for sure. And we understand this. So the son-in-laws, they don't listen to Lot, and they're going to remain in the city. All right, so pick it up in verse 14. It says, so Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws. Oh, excuse me, I already read that part. Let me pick up where I had left off. We were in verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So what do you notice about Lot in just those few verses we just read? Is he in a hurry to get out of the city? It says he says he lingers. It says the Lord's having mercy on him here. That could be it. Maybe he doesn't really understand. The angels have told him the city's going to be destroyed, but he's not understanding the immediacy of the situation here. That the destruction is imminent. Yes, Grant.
Yeah. He doesn't even know, like, I don't know where I'm going to come. And it's such a contrast between the two.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, but I also look at it from a different perspective. For instance, I can see Lot, maybe his wife, saying, look, we've got these daughters here, and they're never, ever going to get married if we don't move to one of these cities. And maybe she pushed him into it. And then you've got, you know, maybe this hesitation is because he's leaving his family. He's leaving his sons-in-law and maybe his other daughters. And there's a hesitation there.
But, you know, that goes back to what Grant said about the contrast between Abraham and Lot. You know, Christ thought whoever loves his children more than me, or whoever loves anyone else more than me, doesn't deserve it. You know, Abraham was willing to give up Isaac. Abraham jumped, you know, God said jump. He moved, and God said move. What's Lot doing? He's been told, get out. This is your one and only one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the reason, I'm not sure that Lot would have had any other children, because when the angels ask him, do you have anybody else in the city, the only people he goes to are the son-in-laws. So that's why I think that at least within this city, that probably he didn't have any other family, because when he's given the opportunity to save them, he doesn't do anything other than go to the son-in-laws. But absolutely, you know, he's told, he's given a chance to save himself. He lingers. He puts himself and his family in danger for whatever reason, whether it's lack of faith or not truly believing in God. Any number of those things play into this decision that Lot makes in lingering. Yes. Sure.
And then they question, well, who are you to judge me? You know, and they start nitpicking about things. You know? So there's a lot of things that still parallel today, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Sins that are still rampant then as now.
And the men of Sodom, they say that Lot is trying to judge them. And it's God's law. It's God's judgment. That was going to be passed on their behalf. A good discussion. Thank you. Pick it up in verse 17. So again, now they're outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." So God has spared his life and allowed his family, Lot's family, and him to escape Sodom and Gomorrah's fate. And he's told to flee to the hills so that he'll be safe. Because while it's Sodom and Gomorrah that we read about being destroyed, it's a region. It's actually a region that gets destroyed. There are multiple cities other than Sodom and Gomorrah, some smaller cities. But think of these as two major metropolitan areas, if you will, with maybe smaller suburbs around it that are going to be destroyed. And so that's why he's told to escape into the hills. Yet, again, God's grace, it seems in this case, is not sufficient for Lot, that he doesn't want to go to the hills because he feels like something is going to befall him and he will die there, whether it's lack of food or, you know, there's no merchants to buy things from, number of things it could be. But he makes the excuse that, well, if I go there, I'm going to die. So let me go to this small city. Smaller city, I think of, he's saying, you know, it's a small city. It's not big like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not going to be as wicked. It'll be okay. So verse 21, "And he said to him, See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, and I think that is on this map. Sorry, me. I want to go back to slides so you can see where that's located. Oh, there we go. Oh, went too far. Went way too far. Let's just do this. Okay. So here's some, again, these locations of potentially where Sodom was and Gomorrah, and the city he's going to escape to is Zoar. So a little bit further south, at the bottom of the Dead Sea. In verse 23, "The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar." So he goes, he actually does go to the city here in verse 23, although he's not going to remain there. Verse 24, "Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah for the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground." Let me catch up my slides here. Okay. So everything's going to be destroyed. All the people, and it says even what grew on the ground. So all the vegetation is going to be destroyed. Verse 26, "But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." So again, the angels told them, don't look back. And Lot's wife is the one that looks back. So we have Lot that lingered, Lot that didn't want to go to the hills where the angels told him to go. And then lastly, his wife not listening to the angels, not believing, didn't take their commands to heart, and she looks back and turns into a pillar of salt. It says, verse 27, "Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, and he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt." Just as a side note, I was reading some things about you know, where potentially Sodom and Gomorrah could be located, and the evidence that's been found there. And some people postulate that this was there were oil reserves underneath this city, and God caused them to explode. And as we also read about the bitumen pits earlier in the case of the kings of the north coming south of the Dead Sea and kidnapping Lot, and those were like asphalt pits. So we have lots of, and we know in the Near East, lots of oil. So potentially God could have used this, had those explode, and sulfur ends up raining down on the cities. And some of the little pellets that have been found in these areas with unburned sulfur, I had read that when they were on fire, they would have been like 9,000 degrees. So would have burned whatever it touched. So you can believe from that scientific evidence that, like it says here, that everything would have been utterly destroyed. All right, real quick, let's look at, understand why were Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Now, we read here, obviously, about their wickedness, but we read also about them in some other passages. I'm going to flip to this real quick. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verses 48 through 50. And this is Ezekiel writing about Jerusalem, or Israel as a greater nation, but specifically about Jerusalem, is what he talks about at the beginning of the chapter. It says in verse 48, "As I live, declares the Lord God, your sister Sodom and her daughters have not done as you and your daughters have done. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy." And we go down a little bit further, and in verse 56 says that Sodom was a byword in the day of Jerusalem for pride. And he goes on later and says that, actually what we just read, that Jerusalem becomes worse in this instance than what Sodom even was. So certainly we understand why Sodom was destroyed. We understand later why the kingdoms of Israel and Judah were overtaken as they grew wicked just like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So this last section of the chapter, verses 19 through 30, so Lot has escaped, and he initially goes to Zoar, where he asked the angels for him to go. It says in verse 30, "Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar." So he was afraid to dwell in the hills before he goes to Zoar, and now we find him living in the hills because he was afraid to live in Zoar. So it becomes the opposite. So God and the angels really knew what was best for him and sent him to where he would have been safe. And he and his two daughters dwelt in the cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Verse 34, "It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, 'Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you may go in and lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father.' Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose." So we'll stop there for just a second. Their plot starts out with saying, there's no man for us to marry. And because of this, we've got to now continue our wickedness. Continue the wickedness that we just left. Now, contrast that with Abraham. And where does, when Isaac is born later, we haven't read about that yet, but where does Abraham go to find Isaac a wife? He goes back to where he came from, goes back to his family, and Lot is not that far away from Abraham. And here now he's living in a cave with his two daughters, as a result of him wanting to split away from Abraham and go to Sodom. I think, why doesn't Lot go back to Abraham at this point and ask for help? I don't know why that is, but there's some reason why. And certainly there would have been men for them to marry instead of it coming to this and what their plot is. So their plan is to both become pregnant from Lot after getting him drunk. And it says in verse 36, both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ami. And he is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. So think about when you study the Old Testament before, what comes to mind when you think about the nation of Moab and the Ammonites? What? Okay. Yeah, the Ammonites attack the Israelites as they leave Egypt. But mainly, these are going to be adversaries of the people of God. And that's what comes. It's almost like out of sin is more enmity toward the people of God that results from this. Now, they could have chosen to follow God if they'd wanted to, but they didn't. But they're enemies of Israel. Yes. Yes. Yep. That's not only did they refuse them, and then after they go around, then they start to attack them.
Right. In Deuteronomy 23, they are both the Ammonites and the Moabites are banned from the assembly of the Lord, even for to the 10th generation. None may enter the assembly of the Lord forever. Yep. So God can give them.
Andy, did you have your hand up? So we understand the plotting and the evil of the daughter's thinking. What about Lot? You know, he allows this not to happen only once, but twice. So and lastly, before we conclude, just a few more points to tie up this chapter, is how did Lot end up here? We understand in Genesis 13, he's a wealthy man. He decides to split off from Abraham because of the strife between their servants. And so we understand in chapter 13, verse 12, he pitches his tent as far as Sodom, is what some translations say. Some say towards Sodom. We understand he's still tent living, like Abraham does. So he's not in a house. And by this point in chapter 19, he's living in a house within the city. He's an elder of the city, well-respected. He's aware of the behavior and the wickedness of the city, yet he decides that that's where he wants to live and call home. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Verses 14 through 19, it says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it, do not go in, or do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." And this is almost an exact parallel with what we read about in Genesis chapter 19. We understand that the household of Lot is about to go down to bed. They're about to go to sleep. But before they do, this mob of every man of the city comes upon them, intent on doing wickedness. So like this passage of Proverbs says, it's like they can't go to sleep until they've done some type of wickedness. And so we understand that what we read about here in Proverbs and also the lesson of Lot is, you may think that you can get close to wickedness, and you may think you can live around it, but it's going to influence you whether you realize it or not. And so the thing to do is just to stay away from it. If Lot had stayed away from it and didn't decide to live in Sodom, his wife would not have turned into a pillar of salt. his daughters would probably not have done what they had done, and he wouldn't have become drunk as he did. Well, that's all we've got today. We're out of time, so we'll end it there. Thank you all for your comments this morning in the discussion.